Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome back to NFL Insights. We are going to break down the last week of the regular season. So this is the regular season finale. And without further ado, coming off an 11-5 week in week 16, I give you Brennan, who will now break down the 4-11 Falcons at the 10-5 Bucks.
So around the league, we're starting to see the impact of positive cases and then the subsequent contact tracing that occurs, which results in a team's main players being ruled out for a game. Linebacker Devin White tested positive, and then as a result, linebacker Shaq Barrett got identified as a close contact. So both of their great linebackers are out, and their main cornerback Carlton Davis is listed as doubtful, which is bad news for a defense that has been pretty up and down all year long. They had a dominant performance against the Lions, but that was against a team that was without Matthew Stafford and without most of their coaches as well due to coronavirus protocols. The Falcons were up 17-0 in their last meeting before they choked it away. But now, because of the lack of pretty much all of their premier defensive players, I think the Falcons will win this game and get their revenge for what happened a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, let's take it off to a NFC showdown. NFC East showdown, that is, has playoff implications with the 6-9 Cowboys going to MetLife to take on the 5-10 Giants.
Shout out to Vinny Lynch, Giants fan, for listening to every episode. It's very appreciated. Now back to the game. It's really amazing how someone has to win this division. It's the worst looking division I've ever seen. The Eagles are eliminated. The Washington football team leads at 6-9, and the Cowboys are also 6-9, and the Giants are 5-10. The Cowboys, they started off 3-9, but have proceeded to roll off consecutive wins, and I think that they're going to get the win again. It seems like the Cowboys and Giants are on entirely different routes right now because of how Cowboys are putting a win streak together. Now the Giants have been putting on a losing streak together. So I think the Cowboys win, but if the Washington football team beats the Eagles, then it would be rendered useless. But we'll see who wins this division.
Okay, let's stick with the divisional games and move on over to the 2-13 Jets at the 6-9 Patriots.
Patriots sure have surprised many this season. We all knew life would be difficult after Tom Brady, but the team, after that loss to the Bills on Monday night, have officially secured their first losing season since 2000, which is crazy. And the Jets, after starting off 0-13, we thought for sure they would get Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who is the number one prospect, not only in terms of quarterbacks, but in all of college football. We thought they would easily attain him with the number one overall pick after their 0-13 start, but then, in classic Jets fashion, proceeded to win two games in a row and now are out of the running and are locked into the number two overall pick, which maybe they'll use on Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields, who put on a show in the All-State Sugar Bowl yesterday. So it's anyone's guess what the Jets do with Sam Darnold, but in my opinion, they failed him, and the Jets have really shown that they're unable to develop a quarterback, but I hope it would be different this time. Reportedly, they're going to part ways with Adam Gase. And back to the game, two Patriots offensive linemen in center David Andrews and Shaq Mason, one of their guards, is out. Also running back Damian Harris is out. Cam Newton was benched late into the game versus the Bills, but is reportedly still going to be the starter. The Patriots just have nothing on offense, and the defense just can't rush the passer. Both the Patriots need to enter a full-time rebuild, in my opinion, and the Jets should look to do the same. But when it comes to who wins, the Jets have a little win streak together. I think they'll end the season with a win streak. I'm going to pick the Jets, something I never thought I would do.
I'm going to stop saying that every game is a divisional matchup, because if I'm not mistaken, I think every game on the schedule this week is a divisional matchup. So I'll stop leading my intros with that. But let's head on over to Detroit, where the 6-9 Vikings will be at the 5-10 Lions.
This is one of the most worthless games of the week. Two teams with losing records that aren't going anywhere this season, but hopefully in the seasons coming up. The Lions, it's been It's been a season like pretty much every other, losing and losing and losing. They fired Matt Patricia near the end of the season, and they've won one game, but not much other than that. The most recent game was a 47-7 loss to the Buccaneers, and that was about as bad as it gets for the Lions. They just put up no fight, but true, they didn't have any of their coaches because of contact tracing and the like, but all the coaches should be back. Matthew Stafford exited that game late with an ankle injury. He pretty much limped off, but there's been no signs yet that he's been ruled out. Matthew Stafford is listed as questionable. He's a really tough guy, so he'll probably suit up. Meanwhile, on the Vikings side, they officially have a losing record at 6-9. The defense was the main downfall of this team. There were the 52-33 loss to the Saints showed was pretty much a microcosm of how the defense had performed all season long. Guys were wide open, missed tackles, couldn't stop the run really, and just can't rush the passer. I must have noticed at least three games in which they failed to get a sack. So the defense held this team back, but it's understandable because of all the injuries and opt-outs that happened before the season started. Michael Pierce, a defensive tackle who they signed from the Ravens, opted out. Anthony Barr tore a pectoral muscle in week two and proceeded to be out for the entire year. Danielle Hunter, their best defensive end, suffered a neck injury in training camp and didn't play a single snap. And they traded for Jaguars defensive end Yannick Ngakoue, but proceeded to trade him away halfway through the season, a move that still makes me angry. But when it comes to this game, I think I'm going to take the Vikings even still, even though there's no Eric Kendricks or rookie cornerback Cameron Dantzler. I think it'll be a shootout, though.
Let's head on over to Cleveland Town, where the 12-3 Steelers, who will be resting many of their starters, will be taking on the 10-5 Browns.
Yes, the Steelers are resting several starters, most notably Ben Roethlisberger, TJ Watt, and Cameron Hayward. They pulled off a very impressive comeback win against the Colts. They were down 24-7, and after they had lost three straight games, and after they were facing such a big deficit, I'm sure many of us, including myself, thought there was no way that this team would have an epic comeback and that this team was as good as finished, but they proved me wrong. They proceeded to win and clinch the division in doing so, and it seems like they're going to rest most of their starters, so it seems like quarterback Mason Rudolph is going to get the start. We saw him a lot last year, and he was very ineffective. There was a lot of offensive injuries to blame, but he just proceeded to not play well. Even though the Steelers had a playoff-worthy defense, the offense couldn't hold up their end of the bargain, and they proceeded to finish at 8-8, although it would have been good enough if the expanded playoff format happened last year. So the Browns are one game away from breaking their 17-year playoff drought. I'm sure they would have beaten the Jets if not for a positive coronavirus test resulted in contact tracing, making the Browns play against the Jets with none of their wide receivers, and they were also minus two offensive linemen. But it sounds like everyone will come back because of the fact that the Steelers are not playing all of their key starters. The Steelers did destroy the Browns when they first met in Pittsburgh, but now it's on the road. Pretty much none of those players are going to be playing in this game. So I think the Browns win, and I think they're going to get into the playoffs for the first time since 2002.
I think I might smell lock of the week on this game. It's the 10-5 Ravens at the 4-10-1 Bengals.
Not quite, but good try. It's win and in for the Ravens. They had a little rough spot midway through the season, but they proceeded to roll off multiple wins, even though they haven't been against the greatest opponents. But I think they're going to get in. Lamar Jackson has been playing like an MVP, like he was last season, most notably in that win versus the Browns from a couple of weeks ago. That was wild. The Bengals is the only team in the AFC North that Lamar Jackson hasn't lost to. He's lost to the Browns once. He's lost to the Steelers once, but never to the Bengals. That'll change one day, but I don't think it'll happen this time, even though the Bengals have pulled off two wins in a row. I think the Ravens will win, even though it hasn't been the greatest year for the Bengals. That win streak should give Bengals fans some optimism. I think when they get Joe Burrow back, and if they continue to draft well, I think things could get turned around over there.
Let's head over to Western New York, where the 10-5 Dolphins will come in and take on the 12-3 Buffalo Bills.
So the Bills proceeded to the Bills destroyed the Patriots last time they played, which must have been very satisfying for the Bills and Bills fans after getting dominated by the Patriots for pretty much 2 decades. They're AFC East champions, but it doesn't seem like they'll be resting starters. It seems like they're going to play. I think they want to knock out their divisional rival Dolphins, who are one game away from getting into the playoffs. The Dolphins are coming off of a wild win over the Raiders, in which it seemed as if there was no way they would win. They needed a field goal to win. They were super backed up, but Ryan Fitzpatrick completed an incredible pass. It was blown coverage by the Raiders. A wide receiver named Mac Hollins was wide open, and Ryan Fitzpatrick had his face mask grabbed while throwing the pass. So it was a huge gain, and also you had 15 yards tacked on because of the penalty. So they proceeded to have a game-winning field goal. But the thing is, I would have liked Tua Tagovailoa, to their rookie quarterback, to lead the win by himself. I guess Brian Flores, their head coach, thought he wasn't having it today, so they resorted to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has more experience and who started off the season. But then there was the development that Ryan Fitzpatrick tested positive for coronavirus, which was very unfortunate. I hope he recovers. But now it seems like I'm going to get my wish. I wanted Tua Tagovailoa to finish that game from the Raiders all by himself, but now it is solely on him to get the Dolphins to the playoffs. But the Dolphins don't have the greatest offensive weapons. They're a little banged up. And I think the Bills, even though they're going to be without Cole Beasley, I think they'll take care of business.
Let's head on over to the West Coast, from Western New York to the West Coast of the USA. 11-4 Seahawks at the 6-9 49ers.
This will be a very easy win for the Seahawks. The 49ers, even though they came off of an upset over the Cardinals, they are super banged up on both sides of the ball. Guys like wide receivers Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, and tackle Trent Williams on the offensive side, and guys like Richard Sherman, Dre Greenlaw, and Javon Kinlaw are out on the defensive side of the ball. This should be an easy win for the Seahawks, but it wouldn't be all that impressive because the 49ers are super banged up. Although the defense has really come on near the end of this regular season after it was so horrible early on. No one's really talking about this team, but maybe they should, because maybe they're a contender that no one seems to take seriously right now. So I think the Seahawks win.
Okay, another game with playoff implications on the line. The 8-7 Cardinals at the 9-6 Rams. Rams missing a big piece of their offense.
Yep, without multiple key offensive starters, most notably Jared Goff, who's been pretty durable throughout his career, but suffered a thumb injury in the loss to the Seahawks, so he's out. So now it's they're going to turn to this guy named John Wolford, who has never played. Well, he's been in a backup for several years, but has never played any NFL action before, and he's going to be without wide receiver Cooper Kupp, as well as both running backs Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson. So I think the Rams are going to be in a lot of trouble here. The defense is championship caliber, I think. They only gave up 20 points to the Seahawks, but the offense didn't hold up its end of the bargain. The Cardinals have been a little inconsistent. They've had their highs and they've had their lows. I would say that surprise loss to the 49ers was a low. The defense played mostly well, but the offense couldn't score. This game maybe could be a little on the defensive side, but Kyler Murray has more experience and a better supporting cast available to him. So I think the Cardinals win. And a win, if the Cardinals win, they're in.
Okay, let's go to a team that has no shot at the playoffs, the 1-14 Jaguars at the 10-5 Colts. And the Colts are not in the playoffs if the season was to end today.
No, they're not. There's a lot of great teams in the AFC, but someone is going to miss the playoffs. This is also my final lock of the week, by the way. The Colts need a win and either a loss by the Browns, Ravens, or Dolphins, I believe, to get in. I think that'll most likely happen, but the Colts are focused on taking care of their own business. I believe I heard something about the Colts hiding out-of-town scores at their stadium so they can solely focus on the Jaguars. And the Jaguars should be absolutely no problem at all. They're 1-14. They've already clinched the number one overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft, which many believe will be Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, assuming he declares. The Jaguars are super banged up. They're going to be without running back James Robinson and wide receivers DJ Chark and Colin Johnson. The defense has been pretty bad all year long. The offense has been okay. They have some good pieces there, but they're not going to be available. This is almost certainly Doug Marrone's last game as Jaguars head coach. And I think the Jaguars just don't show up. I think you're going to see players just feel like they probably just want to go home, be with their families, and watch the playoffs and prepare for the next season. I can't wait to see who they hire as head coach and general manager, because I think there's nowhere to go but up. But I think that the Jaguars proceed to lay a total egg. It won't be competitive at all. Even though they beat the Colts somehow week one, I think I'm going to take the Colts to win here.
And it is your lock of the week, correct? Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to another team that has no shot at the playoffs, the 4-11 Texans, who will be hosting the 10-5 Titans, and the Titans really coming off a bad game against Green Bay.
Yes, it sure was. All of their flaws were exposed in that game. They have no pass rush, none at all. They have like 13 sacks or something, which is either among the bottom of the league or maybe the worst in the league. They signed Vic Beasley, but he wasn't getting it done, so they cut him halfway through the season. And then they signed Jadeveon Clowney in hopes of that he would be a difference maker, but didn't do anything and suffered a season-ending knee injury. The Titans aren't meant to play from behind. They're meant to have a lead and then lean on Derrick Henry running the football to make it out of reach, but the Packers were up big early, and when you're up big early, you have to keep on passing and passing and passing and abandon your best player on offense, which is Derrick Henry. And the Titans' offensive line is best used for run blocking, not pass protecting. So he was under a lot of heavy pressure, which resulted in bad throws. I believe Ryan Tannehill finished with two interceptions. It was probably the worst game the Titans played all year long, but the good news is that if they just win one more game against these bad Houston Texans, they're in the playoffs and also clinch the AFC South. Even if the Titans and Colts both win, they'd both be 11-5, but the Titans would win the division anyway because they beat the Jaguars twice. I still think the Colts are a more better rounded team, but that's how it would work. The Texans, it's really frustrating to look at this team because they were in the divisional round last year, up 24-0 versus the Chiefs, but then they choked the lead. Bill O'Brien trades DeAndre Hopkins to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second-round pick, which is looking like one of the worst trades in NFL history. They traded away two first-round picks for left tackle Laremy Tunsil, who has played pretty well, but they could really use their a first-round pick this year. They would have like the third or fourth overall pick, which they could probably use to get a new number one wide receiver. Deshaun Watson pretty much has nothing to work with right now. And they could also use some more offensive line help. Deshaun Watson's getting sacked a lot still. The defense is pretty poor. Most notably on the defense, J.J. Watt gave a very passionate speech after their loss to the Bengals where he criticized pretty much how team has been, like, their lack of effort and stuff. So there's been a lot of questions about his future with the franchise, and I'm really mad at Bill O'Brien. He took what this team looked like it had a championship window, but this team's long-term future looks pretty bleak to me. They're without a first-round pick here, and they're also without a second-round pick. The Dolphins have both of those, and who's hired as head coach and general manager has a lot of work to do. I'm going to take the Titans to win. The Texans' defense just isn't good. Derrick Henry had a 200-yard game against them the first time, so I think that happens again. And I think the Titans' defense will do a better job in this game.
Let's go to the mile-high city of Denver, where we have no playoff implications on the line with the 7-8 Raiders at the 5-10 Broncos. two teams that'll hope to do better next year.
Yep, one of the most worthless games of the week. The Raiders are coming off a very sad loss to the Dolphins. It really was unbelievable. They had that game won, but then, like I said earlier when I was talking about the Dolphins, they blew a coverage, and there was a face mask penalty added on as well. So they need, even if they were to finish up 9-7, they would need a lot of help that I don't think they were going to receive. But they're out of the playoffs now, and the Broncos have been out of the playoffs for a while. Second-year quarterback Drew Lock has been injury-prone and inconsistent in two seasons, and he really needs to up his game next season. Otherwise, he will be replaced. He's just not played very well at all. When I look at the Raiders, defense is mainly to blame. I think they're pretty much set on offense, but defense is where they have to is the area they have to address in this upcoming offseason. When the last time these two teams met, Drew Lock had, I believe, had four interceptions. I don't know if the Raiders' defense is going to be that dominant again, but I'm going to take the Raiders to win again.
All right, let's check in on probable rookie of the year, Justin Herbert, and his 6-9 Chargers going into Arrowhead to take on the 14-1 Chiefs, who I have to believe are sitting almost everybody.
Yep, Patrick Mahomes has been is going to sit this game out. He said, Andy Reid said that most of the offensive starters would be sitting as well. Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins have already been ruled out, as is Clyde Edwards-Alaire. It seems like guys like Le'Veon Bell and Travis Kelce are still going to play. But the Chiefs' most explosive players on offense aren't going to play. So I think the Chargers are going to take care of business. They just barely lost to the Chiefs when they were at full strength with all their starters back in week two. That was Justin Herbert's first game as an NFL starter. I think that the Chargers get a win this time, and they're going to end at 7-9, and Anthony Lynn's job should be safe at 7-9. But I think there will be expectations to perform very well in 2021.
Let's go to the game that I am looking forward to most as a Bears fan, even though I know I'm going to get my heart ripped out. The 12-3 Packers going to Soldier Field to take the 8-7 Bears. The Bears are winning in. What do you think of the odds?
I'm not so sure. Anything can happen with divisional matchups, regardless of record. A divisional matchup, pretty much always teams come to play. The Packers made a good thing happen to them, and also a very bad thing happened to them. They signed defensive tackle Damon Harrison off of waivers from the Seahawks, who is really great at stopping the run, which has been a little bit of a weakness for them. Then the bad news came in that left tackle David Bakhtiari, one of the best in the business, tore his ACL in practice, which is really going to hurt them going forward. And because he tore his ACL so late in the year, he's probably going to miss most of next season too, which is a huge shame. The Packers were without him for a couple of games early on in the season, and they turned out to be mostly fine. So it will be a tough loss, but I think they should be okay moving forward. I think that the Packers should be just fine, especially because the Bears are going to be without two cornerbacks and Buster Screen and Jalen Johnson. So it should be a very productive day passing the football for Aaron Rodgers. So I think the Packers get this win, become the number one overall seed, and also eliminate their rival Bears from playoff contention all at once.
All right, let's go to the COVID-ridden Saints, who will, at 11-4, will be going into Carolina to take on the 5-10 Panthers. And Saints have very little in the running back department, eh?
Yep, Alvin Kamara tested positive. So as a result, contact tracing has ruled out Latavius Murray, fullback Michael Burton, as well as running back Dwayne Washington, and also their running backs coach. But thankfully, they have Ty Montgomery, who was pretty productive with the Packers a couple of years ago. The Panthers are going to be running back depleted on the other side. Christian McCaffrey and Mike Davis are both doubtful, as is defensive end Brian Burns. There's not going to be a whole lot of running of the football in this game, but I think that the Saints should take care of business even still. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Panthers did pull off an upset, but I think I'll stick with Saints. I still think they're the better team.
And in the regular season finale, because we have no Monday night game this week, the Sunday night game serves as the finale. And it does have playoff implications. The 6-9 Washington football team at the 4-10-1 Eagles.
What a bad finale to this NFL regular season, even though there is a lot of playoff implications. It's between both teams with losing records, and whoever wins the NFC East will most likely be one and done. I remember what the regular season finale was last year. It was the Seahawks versus the 49ers, and the winner would have won the NFC West, and there was a lot of number one seed implications, but there's I don't think there's going to be any of those stakes in this game. Most notably with the Washington football team, they released quarterback Dwayne Haskins after the team tired of his antics, with most notably the strip club incident. And then Dwayne Haskins skipped the media press conference after their loss to the Panthers. So then they proceeded to release him. Alex Smith is on track to start, which is good news for them. He's the best quarterback of them all that they've started in this season. It's been a really rough season for the Eagles. Injuries have been a part, but also they've just played poorly. Most notably, Carson Wentz, who got benched for Jalen Hurts near the end of the season. And Jalen Hurts has just been playing better than Carson Wentz, even though he's had a couple of turnovers as of late. It just seems like they have more energy with Jalen Hurts, and it's really going to be one of the defining moments of the offseason, I feel. Like, what are they going to do? Are they really going to trade Carson Wentz? He has such a huge contract. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But when this game was first played way back in week one, it was Carson Wentz versus Dwayne Haskins, but now it'll be Alex Smith versus Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts brings a new element to the Eagles offense, so I think they'll win and spoil the party for the Washington football team. I think the Eagles win.
And there you have it, folks. Those are Brennan's picks. We thank you for listening, as always. Don't go anywhere, because we are still going to be doing playoff versions of NFL Insights. So we'll be back with you next week to go through the wild card round. As always, feel free to visit us at anchor.fm. If you would like to send any messages or leave a voice message, Brennan will feature you on the show and answer your question or debate whatever topic you want to get into. Thanks again, and Happy New Year.